98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. 4 o'clock reset.
Top stories of the day, our reaction to the top stories of the day. The 4 o'clock reset here on the Burns and Gambo show, starting with yet another visit for Kyler Murray. This time with the New York Giants. Sent out an Instagram post from the outside of Giants headquarters.
I guess he's not too short.
I guess not. The team that once upon a time thought he was too short to play quarterback is taking a visit with the New York Giants. Now, we reported yesterday, Jordan Schultz had reported that there's a visit scheduled with the Washington Redskins. Keep in mind, they're picking 15th. The Giants, it's a little more realistic. They're picking 6th. There's no doubt Washington and New York would have to move up to get Kyler Murray. The question is, how far up would they have to get Kyler Murray? And are they convinced the Cardinals aren't taking him at number one?
Well, like I said, in the last 3 years, 11 quarterbacks have been drafted in the first round. 10 of those quarterbacks, teams moved up to get him. Only Baker Mayfield, the number one overall, a team didn't have to move up to get. So usually when we're talking about first-round quarterbacks, you're seeing a lot of movement. Teams are moving up to get him. 10 out of the last 11 teams moved up to get.
Yeah, if you're the Giants and you believe for sure that the Cardinals are going a different direction at number one and not Kyler Murray, then you could probably get to 3 to get him, I would imagine, because I believe, and you know I've said this all draft season long, that I think the Jets are moving out of 3. If you're Washington, maybe you could move up to number 3. But you have to be sure, 110% sure, the Cardinals are not taking Kyler Murray, well, number one, if then, you think 3 is the only spot you have to go to get, we'll get him.
And then also that the 49ers won't pull the wool out over your eyes and make a trade, too. Hey, the Cardinals took Bosa. We don't want Bosa.
Yep.
We wanted Bosa. Okay, wait, some team moved up with the Jets to 3? Yeah, you get a call from another team. Yeah, we'll move down a few spots because we wanted Bosa. We're not going to get him. I'll move down. And so it's an excellent point.
I'm glad you brought that up.
It's a little risky because if the Cardinals aren't taking Murray, they're taking Bosa. And if the 49ers don't get Bosa, then maybe they'd be willing to trade.
Very well said. Mississippi State defensive tackle Jeffrey Simmons going to visit with the Cardinals at some point after meeting with several other teams. He tore his ACL in February. ESPN still has him ranked as 17th best on their best available list.
He would have been a top 5 pick if he didn't tear his ACL. Cardinals absolutely love this guy as a player. Torn ACL, you got to take that into consideration, injury guys. But this play, he would have been, Jeffrey Simmons, he's legit, would have been a top 5 pick. This is the type of guy, if he's there at 33, like, I would imagine that you could take him at 33. No, I'm getting a top 5 pick because of a torn ACL.
Yeah. I know it's not your cup of tea, but it bears mentioning. Masters round 1 underway. Bryson DeChambeau and Brooks Koepka are your co-leaders at 6 under par. It's a star-studded leaderboard so far at Augusta. Koepka, Dustin Johnson's 2 shots back. Phil Mickelson is 2 shots back. Tiger Woods.
You want to see Tiger Woods win?
Lurking.
Do you want to see him win?
At this point, I have reason to root against Tiger Woods.
I'm going no.
None.
I'm just going no.
So you're not rooting for it?
Nah.
I wouldn't mind seeing it at all. It'd be one hell of a redemption story. And don't we love our redemption stories?
The real story is if he's in contention on Sunday, are you guys watching?
I don't watch that stuff.
Yeah. But you know what? Sunday, Masters, I'm watching anyway. Tiger or no Tiger, Phil or no Phil. I watched. I'm not a golf fan. I watch the Masters on Sunday. I watch the Masters on Saturday. I'll watch it no matter who's in it.
I mean, that guy screwed up his life so bad, and I know the whole redemption thing and everything. I don't know. I'm still rooting against him.
All right.
I hope he doesn't make the cut. I don't know why. I'm just rooting against him.
Shake-up day in the NBA. Sacramento Kings general manager Vlade Divac fired Dave Joerger, the team's best season in over 10 years.
He was shocked that he got fired.
The Grizzlies fired J.B. Bickerstaff today after one full year on the job. He was the interim coach last year for 60-some-odd games.
And they demoted Chris Wallace, their GM, to a scout.
Yep, and John Hollinger.
To an advisory role.
He was the VP of basketball operations, so they were really cleaning house
basically
there.
Just told Chris Wallace Dallas, you went from the general manager to a scout. You might as well just, I mean, you can't take that job.
Yeah.
I'm the general manager of the Memphis Grizzlies. No, you're a scout now. I quit. Like, you.
Pretty much.
Like, you gotta quit.
It's like they're holding the door asking him to walk out.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, they're gonna kick you in the ass on the way out. You show some pride. Walk away from the job.
And the Cavs are not bringing back Larry Drew for a second season. He got fired. So, shakeup day in the NBA, and that leads to our top story of the day here in town. The Phoenix Suns have named James Jones general manager. They've added, as you had reported days ago, Jeff Bauer as senior VP of basketball operations. They keep Trevor Buckstein as assistant GM. The second line of the press release from the Phoenix Suns today is the one that's got everybody kind of up in arms. Quote, Jones will oversee all basketball operations for the team with Bauer and Buckstein reporting to him. It's confusing a lot of people that the guy with the title Senior VP of Basketball Operations does, in fact, report to the general manager. But that's how it's going to go in this power structure. It is James Jones's show, and the other guys are there in advisory slash assistant type capacity.
Yeah, they believe in James Jones. They think he could do the job. He didn't do anything to lose the job this year. He didn't do anything stupid. Didn't make any bad moves. In fact, he made a couple of decent moves. But he didn't do anything crazy. That's what I liked about what he did the most, is that he didn't do anything stupid. There's a lot of stupid moves made all over the NBA. And I honestly believe like every three out of four moves that teams make are dumb moves. So I think he did a pretty decent job overall in getting Kelly Oubre and getting Tyler Johnson, not messing anything up. They'll have a high draft pick. He didn't trade away their draft pick to go get Lonzo Ball. Like,
right.
He didn't give up the Suns' top pick this year to go get Mike Conley or John Wall or some 32-year-old point guard who's broken down, and now the Suns don't have a top five pick because he gave it away for some 32-year-old point guard. He didn't do anything stupid. They believe in him. They like him. They gave him a chance as an interim guy. They evaluated him for a year. Felt like, you know what, he's the right guy for the job. But you know what? We want to get him some help because there's a lot of things going on. You know, we need somebody with knowledge and experience that done this before that could be a voice in the room, a voice of reason, to try to change his mind if they think he's doing something. And that's why they brought in Jeff Bauer. I mean, he's not a yes man, okay? He's not coming here to be a yes man. He's sitting there to help, to give advice, and it'll be a sounding board for James Jones. I'm thinking about doing this. What do you think? What do we think about that point guard? I had that guy. Let me give you my opinion on him. He's just there to help him form his opinion and help him make decisions. Ultimately, James will make the decisions, but now he's got a guy that he can lean on a little bit more for better advice.
And I'm just guessing here. I think that's probably the part of this that has some Suns fans, not all. They're all upset with this for a variety of different reasons, mostly because it's just the Phoenix Suns and very little of what they've done the last 10 years has actually worked. But I think part of what they're upset about is they don't understand why the guy with the experience, the guy with the resume, in Jeff Bauer, why he wasn't given the more senior position, why he's not the one in charge and James is the one in the advisory role. Well, how did they get reversed? How did the GM job go to the guy who's got no experience doing it and the advisory role went to the guy who's got years and years of experience doing it? I think that's part of what has Suns fans confused / upset about this hiring and the structure and the way it came out.
What's the biggest knock on Robert Sarver over the last 8 years?
Was that he doesn't hire experienced people.
Okay, what did he just do?
Hire an experienced person.
Okay, now he didn't put the guy in charge.
And that's
it's about going halfway. It's about going halfway. Yeah. Now, the reason they didn't put him in charge is because it's not like they didn't like the GM they had. They like the GM they have. They like the guy. They believe in the guy. They think he's a rising star. And when he got hired in this organization, everybody praised it. When they brought in James Jones, everybody's like, oh, that's a smart move. That's good. Ryan didn't have a great relationship with the players at the time. James was going to be the buffer. He knew the players. He knew coaches. He knew a lot of different things. So that was highly regarded as a good move by the Suns when they brought him in. Now, when he got the GM job, it's like, okay, he doesn't have any experience. He's very young. He doesn't have the experience. So it's kind of like, I think what ownership did is they kind of met everybody halfway. They're not giving everybody what they fully want, but they are putting an experienced person who's been a GM at several stops in the organization.
Yeah, see, I look at it a little differently, and maybe I'm looking at it through cynical eyes. I look at it as ownership saying, hey, what's the biggest knock against me? I didn't hire anybody who's got experience. I just hired somebody who has experience. I didn't put him in charge, but I just hired somebody who had experience. So now I can say, I did it. Now I can look my fan base in the eye and say, you wanted me to hire someone with experience? I just did it.
Been a GM of the
Pelicans, didn't put him in charge.
GM of the Pistons, 57 years old. Yeah, yeah. The 57-year-old two-time GM is now he has to report to the 38-year-old former player who's been a GM for a year. But again, there is a belief in James Jones in that organization, not just ownership, okay? Not just ownership. And I've talked with other NBA executives who have dealt with James, and yes, they think he's a, not, not, I say rising star, but they think he's good.
He's competent at it.
He's competent. He's good. He's going to be a good GM. There's a belief that he's going to be a good GM. That's probably why the Suns don't want to get rid of him.
With his name being mentioned in more and more trade rumors, do the Cardinals owe Josh Rosen some kind of an explanation through these chaotic days? The two best quarterbacks in Arizona Cardinals history weighing in on that topic, and you'll hear what they had to say about it coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Half hour from right now, we're going to be reading off a name, trying to get another qualifier for our Cards on the Clock Ultimate Draft Flyaway Experience. Half hour from right now, it's a little less than a half hour from right now, we're going to read off our qualifying name. That person will have 9 minutes to give us a call, so please make sure you're listening at 4:45. Please listen, because we really want to give out that qualification to one of our listeners here on the Burns.
Yeah, we want one of our listeners to win. We're not holding any grudges here against the other shows, but we'd prefer it be one of our listeners.
It would be nice. Yeah, we want to reward you with that.
Yeah,
yes,
we Burns and Gamble listener. Yeah, that's what we're hoping for.
That's what we're hoping. So please, be listening.
Yeah, let's go.
Less than a half hour.
Step up to the table.
Now,
help us out here.
Be listening, because we'll be reading off a name.
Yeah. By the way, tomorrow we have a great remote.
Yes.
A great remote. Very excited about it. We are out at the Walmart Supercenter. Which is Deer Valley and Lake Pleasant Parkway, correct?
Deer
Valley,
yep.
Lake Pleasant Parkway in Peoria. And we've got the free bottle engraving. So we've got the free bottle engraving. And I know you got all the details there, but we will be out there tomorrow at the Walmart Supercenter, Lake Pleasant Parkway and Deer Valley Road. And it should be a really good time.
Complimentary bottle engraving with the purchase of Woodford Reserve, the official bourbon of the Kentucky Derby.
A nice bottle, nice thick
indeed.
Bottle. They're in the same family with the Gentleman Jacks, owned by the same company. It's a really good bourbon. It comes in a great bottle. It's a great gift, official Kentucky Derby bourbon. So come on out, get a bottle engraved. You'll love it.
I have a friend who drinks nothing but bourbon, and he loves him some Woodford Reserve.
Yes.
That's one of his favorites.
So pick up a bottle
tomorrow.
Makes a great gift.
Coming up tomorrow on the Doug and Wolf show, it is called Cardinals QB1, the franchise focus. They went and did a real cool thing on the Doug and Wolf show, and they're going to air it in three parts. On Friday at 7:30, then on Tuesday and Wednesday next week at 7:30 as well. And it's a conversation they had at the same time with Kurt Warner and Carson Palmer, the two best quarterbacks
yes.
in the history of the Phoenix / Arizona
and
Cardinals.
Next week, we're going to bring on Max Hall and Kevin Cobb, and we're going to get their opinions. What?
Well, when the morning show claims Carson Palmer, Kurt Warner, we are kind of picking through the leftovers here on the Burns
and Gambo
show.
We're going to get John Skelton and Kevin Cobb to come on.
Ryan Lindley's a backup.
Yeah. Sean Queen.
Yeah, Sean King is Dave Craig might be on our list too, right? Yeah. Can we get him in?
Chris Chandler probably doesn't have anything going on.
We're
going
to bring in
Tom
Kent,
Supa. Can we get Tom?
Kent Graham and Dave Brown will be on with us next week to debate what the Cardinals should do.
No. I got it.
With their quarterback situation.
Jake Plummer and Matt Leinart. Boom! Make it happen! Make that happen!
Well, that's a powerhouse duo.
Oh, come on. Jake Plummer, Matt Leinart, QB5, the franchise out of focus, right here on the Burns and Gambo show. You won't want to miss it.
Do a poll question. What is the worst quarterback combination you could have to come in and talk about what the Cardinals should do? That's what we should do. What is the worst two quarterbacks we could bring in?
Because the rest of us,
to
man,
give us
Doug and Wolf.
I mean, Doug and Wolf got
Doug
Palmer
all,
and Warner.
Seriously, we're just all fighting for scraps, crumbs off the tables here on the rest of the shows.
Like the dog in those two dogs in a cartoon series where they ate the spaghetti outside.
Coming next week, Matt Leinart and Jake Plummer on the Burns and
Gambo
show.
Still like Kent Graham and Dave Brown, Skelton and Cobb. Come on.
So Warner and Palmer, and this is a little sneak preview
of this.
Did
make you laugh?
It made me laugh. It was very funny.
That's all that matters.
Warner and Palmer, and this is kind of the introduction to some of this conversation. Do the Cardinals owe Josh Rosen any kind of an explanation? Now, I know how you feel about it. You know how I feel about it. Kurt Warner, how he feels about it is, yes, they do.
But in order to get the best out of Josh Rosen, should he get an explanation?
Well, I mean, I'm a believer that he deserves an explanation. You know, that you can say what you want. He's an employee that you've put in this position. I believe everybody deserves the right to be sat down and say, this is what's going on here. And be honest.
Carson Palmer, not so much.
With Kurt and I's, you know, previous relationship with Michael Bidwell, my relationship with Steve Keim, and knowing that the individuals that we know that they are, they haven't just left him in the dark and not texted him or not talked to him. Now, I don't think they need to tell him all of the truth, because they're in a point where if they knew what they were going to do, they would have already done it.
Yeah. So he went on to elaborate thinking about what a conversation might sound like.
It's the kind of conversation that can be really easy. You know, like, look, we're not 100% sure what we're going to do. We may end up trading you. If somebody offers us a deal that we can't refuse, that may happen. If it's not a good enough deal because we value you at such a great level, we have so much respect for you, then we're not going to make it happen. But they don't need to disclose everything. I don't think that they owe that to him.
I don't think that they owe that to him. That's kind of how you feel, and I know that's how I feel, too.
Don't owe anybody anything. And here's the thing. Like, yeah, you should be truthful with him and honest. Hey, we're going to trade you. Okay. We're going to trade you. We've decided on Kyler Murray. We're going to trade you. Will you please keep it quiet? Then he goes home. He tells his brother and his mother, and he tells his agent, and he tells his best friend. And then word gets around. Now the Cardinals lose their leverage in trade because they haven't decided who they're going to trade him to. They've just decided they're going to trade him. So now it's out there they're going to trade him. And now it's just, you know, so it just, you know, it doesn't help. It doesn't benefit the Cardinals to tell him right now what they're going to do. You're an employee. They're paying you. They paid you a lot of money. Show up, do your job. When they're ready to tell you, I think it's respectable that they do tell you at the time, hey, listen, when they're making a deal, they're on the phone with the Washington Redskins and they're trading him to Washington. So you could have Michael Bidwell or Steve Keim on the phone. One of the other ones needs to be on the phone with Josh Rosen. So before you hang up, he knows that, you know, we are trading you, so he doesn't read about it on Twitter or read about it, on SportsCenter. I have his friend, hey, dude, I just heard you got traded. So that's respectable. I mean, that's fair. You can ask for that they tell you first. But to tell you now what they're going to do, it's not like you're going to keep that secret.
No.
It's not like you're going to keep the secret. You're going to go tell everybody you know, yeah, they're trading me. And then what incentive do you have to work hard right now? And then if you decide, you know what, I'm not going to go to voluntary workouts. And it just doesn't do anybody any good to tell him what the plan is right now. It doesn't.
No, it doesn't, especially when, I mean, look, certainly if you don't even know what the plan is right now. Now, I got to think they have a pretty good idea what their plan is. It's just a question of whether they can execute it at this point. But at this point, it doesn't do the Cardinals. Look, this is the life of a professional athlete, all right? It's got a lot of perks. It's got a lot of wonderful benefits. You get paid to play a game, right? You get paid to play the sport that you grew up as a kid playing. You're the envy of just about every American male and many females in this land for doing what everybody would love to do. One of the drawbacks of being a professional athlete is that when it comes to a situation like this, you have no control over this. None. And there's nothing you can do about that.
Unless you have a no-trade clause.
Unless you have a no-trade clause. But Josh Rosen obviously hasn't achieved that kind of status.
Nope.
This is the gig. This is it's every job in America. Every job in America has benefits and not hazards, but things that don't make it a benefit, right?
Positives and negatives?
Positives and thank you. That's what I was looking for. Every job in America has positives and negatives. Just because Josh Rosen is the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals does not mean he is immune to the negatives of that job. And the negatives of that job are this. They can trade you. They can do whatever they want to you or with you, and they don't have to tell you a thing.
I was about to throw you a softball, then I figured what your answer would be, so I didn't say it. I was going to ask what's the negative of this job, and then I knew what you would say, so I just decided not to ask. Because that would have been literally just lobbing up this softball for you to hit right there.
That yeah, you know what? You're right.
So I just decided
not
to. Because
working with Jordan is such a pain in the butt. I mean, his attitude, his me, his
you are a national treasure, Gambo.
Why would you assume that the negative of this job would be working with you? Why would you assume that? Let's turn this back on you. Why would you? Why would you assume that working with you would be negative? Are you a hard guy to work with? Are you?
Are you difficult to work with?
Do you think you're difficult to work with? Because I think I got a pretty good handle on what it's like to work with you.
So everybody that thinks I'm difficult to work with out there, you could tell them differently, right?
Yeah.
See.
Yeah, and you know what? I have.
That's why you're not a hack. You're good at what you do.
You're no hack. You're a good nut. Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate that. Yeah. Time for the Coors Light What's On Tonight. The show's not over. I'm just telling you the Coors Light What's On Tonight. Brought to you by Coors Light.
I'm going.
Padres. So am I, as a matter of fact. Taking my dad to celebrate his birthday.
Oh, look at that.
You're going to the ballpark.
Why are we not at the fish tank doing the show where we could just get done and walk right in?
I don't know.
Like, why?
Because you're
all going.
You're the power broker. You didn't make that happen, man. I just get my marching orders. You should have gone to management and pulled some strings, made that happen. Padres D-backs tonight, 6:41 pitch here at 98.7 FM.
Technical difficulties right now, and then go down there and be there by 5.
I'll just read the T's instead. It was supposed to be one of the strengths of the team this season. Do the D-backs have a bullpen problem? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show. Let's update our Twitter poll question of the day, and for that, we turn it back over to Spencer Keatsman.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update presented by Sanderson Ford.
On a day like today, it's a predictable question, and on a day like today, we're getting predictable results so far.
Yeah, and a lot of responses on this one. People with some mixed emotions. With the big news being official, James Jones will remain the Suns' general manager. How confident are you this organization is moving in the right direction? The results haven't really changed. 7% say they're very confident. 24% say fairly confident. 40 have their doubts, and 29% say it's a total disaster.
I have my doubts, but I'm conditioned to have my doubts when it comes to days like today. That's kind of the way.
I think Vinny said it best. We're conditioned to just believe that the decisions that they've made are wrong decisions. But
with good reason.
There is a belief that James Jones, even outside this organization, that James Jones knows what he's doing, that he's going to be a good GM. Now, why would you get rid of a guy that has the ability to maybe lead this organization to the... There's a lot of people that believe in James Jones, and I'm not just talking about locally here in this organization. We're going to have Channing Frye on the show tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Channing Frye knows James Jones very well, and he's going to join us tomorrow, and he really thinks that this is the right move for the Phoenix Suns in bringing, keeping James Jones as the general manager.
The Diamondbacks are back in action tonight, taking on the San Diego Padres, the first of four. This is one of those deals where numbers tell only part of the story, and numbers usually do only tell part of the story. Numbers can tell, stats in sports can tell whatever story you want them to tell. You can twist them, you can turn them, you can make them make whatever point you want to make, pretty much. I saw a stat today on Twitter, and I went and looked it up just to be sure, and it's true. And the stat, when you look at it at first, you go, oh my God, that looks terrible. Especially after what happened last night when the Diamondbacks lost and their bullpen was a big part of why they lost.
Yeah, it wasn't a great effort by the bullpen last night. Overall, I think the bullpen's been good. But last night, I mean, Archie gave up an inherited run, then he gave up a run. Andrees didn't pitch well. Chafin did pitch well, but he did walk a guy. That guy ended up coming around to score. So, you know, overall, it wasn't a great night for the bullpen.
Here's the stat.
Okay.
But it doesn't tell the whole story.
It doesn't even come close to telling the whole story. No.
Right now, the Arizona Diamondbacks have the third worst bullpen in Major League Baseball. One, we're only 12 games in. Two, as you pointed out the first time we talked about this, that number, that 7.07 bullpen ERA number, does include the outings of not only Matt Cook, who's just been awful this year.
And John Ryan Murphy.
But also John Ryan Murphy, who came in game three of the season and pitched and was brutal.
It's like 22 runs. Between Matt Cook and John Ryan Murphy, that's 22 runs. So when I see that stat, the D-backs have the third worst bullpen in baseball, I go, hold on, slow down, Turbo. Okay, let's dig a little deeper. John Ryan Murphy pitched and gave up like 7 runs. Okay? And Matt Cook has been torched in a couple of games. If you take those two guys out of it, the story's a lot different, isn't it?
If you take those two guys out of it, and credit to one of our very loyal listeners, Jake, he tweeted both of us for what it's, and he went and did the math. Bullpen ERA, you remove Cook and JRM, the bullpen ERA goes down to 3.24. Which is not only very manageable, it's very good. So it's stats, again, don't tell the whole story, but let's look at last night's game. All right. Yoan Lopez, okay? had a very so-so outing last night. He only threw 7 pitches, but he faced 2 batters, and both of them got on. Very so-so. Nothing great. Archie Bradley allowed the inherited run to score, the go-ahead run, and then gave up the home run to Hunter Pence that kind of changed the dynamic of the game a little bit. Chafin did a fantastic job getting out of that bases-loaded jam.
Did great.
Fantastic, but then in walking the leadoff batter in the very next inning, the one who would come around to score on the 2-out knock that Archie Bradley gave up, that is something. And Archie... Chafin, to me, is almost the perfect personification of this whole numbers versus reality thing. His numbers last year were good, right? His ERA was good.
I like Chafin.
From the surface, he looked like... But if you watch those games, and I know you did, if you watch those games last year, how many times would he come in, walk the leadoff guy, face one batter, his one responsibility? You are there to get that guy out, and he couldn't get that guy out. Sometimes it would hurt him, sometimes it wouldn't. But it seemed like over the course of last year, Chafin was very frustrating because he was literally in there to face one guy. And when he gives up a single or a walk to that one guy, he has failed to do his job. The numbers might not reflect it,
yeah,
but he has failed to do his job.
You hope to get McFarland back because he's a good left-handed pitcher. You know, not everybody in your bullpen is going to be great. I mean, right now they're having... Hirano's off to a little bit of a rough start, but Holland's been good. Archie's been good. Lopez overall has been good. I don't know. I still believe in Andrew Chafin. I still like when he comes into the game. I mean, that was such a tough spot to come in. He gets the strikeout of Joey Gallo, and then he gets Asdrubal Cabrera to hit into a double play, and you're like pumped. You're like, all right, there it is. Got out of a bases loaded jam. And then, yeah, you're right. He walks the leadoff guy. But then the next two guys are out, and he leaves with the runner on second and 2 outs, and Archie gives up the base
hit. And you expect Archie to get out of that.
That's on Archie.
Archie's going to be this all-everything reliever, okay, and the fireman who comes in at the most important, crucial time of the game, that's a situation where you have to flourish. And he didn't. And that's the situation where you expect the guy to get the third out of the inning, and he does not. Troy Lovello pregame today. You mentioned T.J. McFarland. Lovello was gushing about McFarland today.
T.J. will have another outing in extended spring training on Saturday, up to 25 pitches. So the other guys, obviously, are still in the training room working through some of their stuff with the medical team. So I don't have any real changes with their schedule. But super excited about T.J. getting out. Again, feeling as good as he did after the last outing. And we'll try to increase his pitches. And like we did the last time, if he doesn't get to that 25-pitch mark, we'll finish it up in the bullpen.
He will certainly help. I think the biggest thing right now facing the Diamondbacks, we'll talk more about this specifically, offensively, it looks like they are definitely coming back to earth a little bit with they were swinging the bats.
Did not have to be expected. I mean, it had to be expected after the start that they got off to in L.A. It did.
You're going to want to stay tuned. We're going to be reading off a name here in just a few minutes. Do not go anywhere. Make sure you do not miss it. If you want to qualify for the big trip to Nashville to go see the Cardinals and the draft and all of that, be listening, because coming up in just a few minutes, we will read off yet another qualifying name, so don't go anywhere. They are one of the most historic and well-respected franchises in all of sports, and yet the Steelers are a mess. We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Want to go to Nashville for the NFL Draft?
Nashville, Tennessee.
Cards on the clock. Ultimate draft flyaway experience. Yeehaw! Brought to you by Cherish. All natural, 100% cherry juice.
All right, we started off hot on the Burns and Gambo Show. We were one for one on Monday.
Now we're 1-for-3.
We're 0 for our last 2 on this one, yeah, which is why...
The batting average up.
No pressure, Susan Fassett. But you're on the clock.
Susan
Fassett. F-A-S-S-E-T-T, Susan Fassett. You have 9 minutes to call 602-260-9870. 602-260-9870 and claim your 2019 Arizona Cardinals draft hat and your qualifying spot for the trip to Nashville for the draft. If Susan Fassett doesn't call within 9 minutes,
she will.
We're going to open up the phone lines, but I have faith that Susan is listening and is prepared and right now is dialing 602-260-9870. One more time, 602-260-9870. 260-9870. Susan Fassett, you are on the clock. We want to send you to Nashville.
You're on the clock before the Cardinals are.
We want to register you to go to Nashville. So come on, Susan. Call.
Yeah, we want one of our listeners to go.
Call, Susan. Come on, Susan.
Yes.
No Susan Fassett.
So we're at the D-back game tonight. We'll be happy that Susan called.
We will be.
That's right.
I'll be satisfied with job well done. Susan called. Boy, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Wow.
Yeah, not good.
Wow. Veteran guard Ramon Foster has issued what he calls a PSA on social media, urging ex-Steelers to stop criticizing current Steelers. Ben Roethlisberger, Juju Smith-Schuster, they've been the targets of criticism after the Antonio Brown trade. The thing all came to a head today when former Steelers running back Rashard Mendenhall, former Cardinals running back Rashard Mendenhall, labeled Big Ben a racist in a tweet. Before then, a couple hours later, clarifying, saying that he was just trying to make an exaggerated point and that he did not actually think that Big Ben was, in fact, a racist.
Then you are an idiot, Rashard Mendenhall. I mean, you are an idiot. You know, to put that out there, you know how that got picked up? Rashard Mendenhall, Ben Roethlisberger is a racist quarterback, and then you're going to walk it back? You know, I mean, this is you can't say something like that. You know, unless you mean it. I mean, if you really believe that and you say it, okay. But if you're going to, how did he kind of get at it? I didn't really mean that. Is that what he said? Backpedaled?
Yeah.
Tweeted, clearly it's not fun when everyone's the accused. Please allow the dialogue in sports to be equal. Why it's so easy to shoot at one player but not the other.
Yeah.
B's not racist.
Just like AB's not a dirtbag.
Yep. So he walked it back. I mean, you call the guy a racist quarterback, and then you come out and then you said, Ben's not racist. Yeah, you really? Like, if I'm Ben Roethlisberger, you're putting me through hell, dude.
Sure.
You don't need.
I'm confused by his methodology here because it's almost like he's saying, I'm going to lob a ridiculous accusation at Big Ben just to show how ridiculous it is that people are saying these things about Antonio Brown, which is a weird way to make a point because when you start calling people racists, that's. Man, you talk about third rail type, you better not go there type stuff unless you're absolutely sure. And then to come out a couple hours later, no, he's not a racist, just like AB's not a dirtbag. I was just trying to make a point.
Well,
I was just calling him a name by just trying to make a point that he's not that, just like AB's not a dirtbag.
His tweet was, all right, I'll end the mystery. B's racist and AB84 is black. He had to catch balls from a racist quarterback. Every honest player knows it. It's not a big deal. He was just supposed to take his lickings and move on like a slave for real. 3 hours later, after everybody had picked up this story, that Rashard Mendenhall was calling Ben Roethlisberger a racist quarterback, then he walks it back and says, B's not racist. What? You are an idiot.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't do that. Unbelievable. I mean, that's a terrible situation for Ben Roethlisberger.
Former Steeler Ryan Clark, I believe he was on ESPN when he did this, weighed in, and not so much about the Mendenhall, but just in general, and says, look, part of this is just rooted in the fact that Antonio Brown's not a good guy.
He's about money, and now he'll get his money in Oakland. If Derek Carr can find a way to get the ball to him, I believe he'll be successful and get his stats, but that's all he cares about, and he's showing his true colors of not being a good teammate, and I, whether this is controversial or not, I really don't care, and now finally showing y'all that he's just not a good human.
Teddy Bruschi on ESPN, who's to blame for Pittsburgh's issues?
It all starts with the head coach. I think the head coach has to establish the standard in terms of looking forward and seeing what the potential distractions can be. I mean, guys, I played 10 years ago and I remember the talk of Belichick in the meeting about social media, about keeping it out of the locker room. And that was back then. So he has a handle on all of that ahead of time, but it's got to start there. And then it's got to go coach. It's got to go quarterback and then to your captains and then trickling down throughout the team. And so that's where it's got to start. Absolutely. There's more blame than just Antonio Brown.
this is going to be a messy situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I will say there is a current steal of player that is trying to address this, and that's Ramon Foster.
Yeah.
Who said, moving forward, any former player or affiliate of the Steelers who has an issue with anyone still in the locker room, please contact me or Marquise Pouncey or anyone else you feel you can talk to. Whoever you have an issue with, we will get you their number so you can address them. I promise. These media takes might give you all good traffic on your social media outlets, but the guys still in that locker room who you all still know personally have to answer for those comments. Call them what you want, but call them. And he says, personally, and tell them, defend who you want to defend, but you don't have to mention the team at all. Whether you have a ring or played for 1 year, enough. Chill. Most players at one point in their life want to take their kids back to the place where they once played. Don't burn too many bridges. It's a long history or brotherhood more than anything. And he went on a couple other things, but basically saying, look, this has to stop.
Yeah. A couple other things around the NFL draft related. Number one, speculation is starting to increase in New York that the Jets are going to, in fact, move out of the number three spot. Where,
yeah, you've been saying this for a long time.
2 weeks away out of the NFL draft. To me, I think it's the surest thing of the draft. I really, other than Nick Bosa going number two to the Niners, which I know you mentioned is what you think is the surest thing in this draft. For me, the surest thing in this draft is that the New York Jets are going to trade out of number three. It doesn't surprise me at all that speculation is starting to pick up in New York that that's what they're going to do, because they had to give up a bunch of inventory to move up to three a year ago to get Sam Darnold.
Yeah, I mean, it's very unlikely that a team moves. Now, there's been teams that have moved up. I mean, in 2013, the Dolphins moved up to number three to take Deion Jordan, the pass rusher. Would somebody move up for a Bosa, for a Williams, for an Allen? Usually it's for a quarterback. And the Jets sitting at number three are in a pretty good spot if the Cardinals and the 49ers don't take a quarterback to go make that trade, to go make a big trade.
Yeah.
The Jets.
Nope. Man.
What happened to Susan?
Susan. Fine, Susan.
You're batting 250.
We are batting two. We need a rally tomorrow to hit 400 for the week. Let's open her up. Caller number 9, 602-260-9870. If you are caller number 9, you will be qualified for the Cards on the Clock Ultimate Draft Flyaway Experience. You will get Susan's spot, and you might win the spot to go to Nashville to watch the draft if you're caller number 9 at 602-260-9870. Tomorrow, the final three qualifying opportunities at 7:45 a.m., 12:45 p.m., and 4:45 p.m. on this show. Now that the regular season has ended, there are all sorts of eyebrow-raising moves across the NBA. Do any of them have anything to do with our situation here in Phoenix? We'll get some answers to that next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.